is not a book that you're over familiar with, but one, of course, that well, you ought to be familiar with, because at the end of the day, it all comes down to a matter of justice. People in these days, they cry out for justice, you know. Seems to me that that's the last thing that you need, for God to give you justice. Any idea, any concept at all of what that would mean for you? For you to stand before God and be judged as you are in your present state and condition? No, it's not justice. It's not justice that you need. It's grace. But of course, it's the Bible alone that reveals to you the grace of God. Grace that would enable you to overcome, to avert that judgment that God says He's going to bring to the whole world eventually. Grace, of course, is what means what you don't deserve. It's the opposite to justice. It's the opposite to the judgment of God. It's what you and I, we don't deserve. But of course, from beginning to end, start to finish, the Bible throughout speaks of that grace of God. The Old Testament of the Bible, how that God would send His Son into the world. It's all prophesied, all predicted. Of course, just as well, you'd expect God to know the future, wouldn't you? Just the same as you don't, nobody else does. Because God predicted the truth about His Son Jesus Christ, how He would come into the world and what He would do. And just as God promised, so Jesus Christ came. Historical records, secular as well as the Bible, confirm that truth, the person, the work of Jesus Christ, how He came and lived and died, rose again from the dead. These are historically proven facts. Bible is a book that has been for generations now, thousands of years now, microscopically examined like no other book has, and no one yet has succeeded in overcoming it, disproving it. And then that's not surprising really, when you consider that it's God that's the back of it, that His wisdom and His power lie behind it. Never will be overcome. Heaven and earth may pass away, Jesus says, but my word shall abide forever. It's only in the Bible that you find the truth. There is no truth outside of the Bible. God's indictment of the human race is that all men are liars. And so therefore, the only trustworthy source that you have is in God's Word alone, found in the Bible and nowhere else. So I offer you this afternoon a copy, an extract at least from the Bible, entitled Mark's Gospel, yours to take and do with as you will. God's Word offered to you freely, yours simply to take and read and come to your own conclusions, if you will. But who knows, maybe if and as you read God's Word, maybe you will hear His voice. Maybe you'll be pleasantly surprised by the voice of grace, the pleadings of grace, imploring you to be reconciled to God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Evolution, of course, is a lie. And evolution, of course, atheistic evolution, it is the chief, it is the main means, of course, today, why men and women cling to their suppressing of the truth, you know, the unbelief that's so pervasive in the Western world, and of course in your own nation today. But that's hardly surprising, is it, when you consider that most of you are indoctrinated from the cradle to the grave with this foolish notion of evolutionary atheism.
Yes, I should.
Thank you, sir. And you too. Thank you, sir. Yeah, it's, you can say it's a lie, but of course, it's a lie from the very pit of hell. Bible says that Satan is the arch deceiver. That's his number one instrument. That's his number one tool to blind the people of the world, to blind them with deception. And there's no greater deception than atheism. Atheism is a crutch for those who can't cope with the reality of God. An atheist can't find God for the same reason a thief can't find a policeman. It's a self-deception, you know, it's a, you're living a lie. You live off the back of what God has revealed. You could have no knowledge did God not give it to you about your world and about yourself, who and what you are. You couldn't do any of the things that you do unless God had given you knowledge. Bible says that in Jesus Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You can't know squat without Jesus Christ and without His revelation. You talk about science, you know, the senses must be observable. You can't believe anything that you can't see. People, you can't do science without God's revelation, without the knowledge God's given to you. You can't do science, philosophy, logic. You can't do nothing. You can't do squat if God hadn't revealed knowledge to you. I mean, how could you possibly do science in a changing universe? I mean, that's what your evolutionary thinking. That's what you believe, isn't it? Evolution? Huh? That's what you say you believe anyway. You don't really, but that's what you say you believe. Of course, you don't live consistently to that. I tell you, there's nobody more inconsistent than an atheist. You know? Atheists talk more about God than anybody else. Anybody else, he can't leave his name alone. I mean, I don't believe in Santa Claus. But I don't go on about him. I don't talk about him because I know he doesn't exist. But you, as atheists, always talking about God, somebody that you don't believe in, believe exists. And of course, the Bible says you do know that God exists. The Bible says God's made that plain to you. God says God's shown that to you. God says that you even understand it, that He exists. But you suppress the truth in unrighteousness. You hold that truth down. You live off the back of God, what God's revealed to you. You live off the back of that knowledge that God's given to you. Because you see, you're a creature, you're a man, a woman, made in the image of God. Couldn't do the things that you do otherwise, but of course you live off the back of the knowledge God's given to you, revealed to you. You do your science and chemistry and logic and philosophy and stuff. You do all of them things, you know, off the back of the knowledge that God's imparted to you, and then you turn around and see that He doesn't exist. It's kind of like, you know, if I got a great business idea, but I haven't got the money to put it into, you know, to get it running. So I come to you and I say, lend me £1 million, and I'll get this business going. And you say, seems like a good idea to me. So you give me £1 million, I get the business going, and I'm making money left, right, and centre. And then you come to me and say, hey, what about my share? I helped you get this going. And I say to you, what are you talking about? I don't even know who you are. You know? Would you be angry? You'd be fit to kill me. And you do the same thing. You live off the back of what God's given to you. You know? And you get all this knowledge, get all this science up and running, then you turn around and say, you know, hey, you don't exist, God. You gave me all that knowledge, but hey, you don't exist. Self-deception, you know? It's a lie from the pit of hell. Evolution is, that is, godless, atheistic evolution. Then, of course, well, you can look at the fruit, can't you? You think to yourself that you're a nicer, kinder, more loving, gracious people as a result of this lie that you swallowed. You think your nation's a better, a safer place to live in? Can your children play on the streets unattended outside your house the way I could do when I was a kid 60 odd years ago? You can't leave them out of your sight even here in the shopping centre for 2 minutes in case some pervert comes and has them away. A godless society is a rebellious, unclean, filthy society, and that's what you've got. That's what the lies brought you. The vomit of sin spewed out all over you. And you're a stench in the nostrils of Almighty God, who gave you so much goodness, but you turned your back on it, exchanged the truth for a lie, and that's, of course, what you're left with. But that's just in the interim. That's just for now. You know, the day is coming when you stand before God and you give account for that. Going back to the lie, evolution. I mean, ask yourself the question, what basis have you got? What basis have you got for morality? You believe in common decency? You believe that your neighbours, you know, shouldn't trample all over your lawn? You believe that, you know, you believe that it's wrong for one man to murder another? You believe it's wrong for a man to rape a woman? Why? On what basis? On what basis would you get that morality from? I mean, if you're an evolutionist, all you are is just a piece of chemical fizz. You're just a piece of fizz that came out of some primordial sludge. You're just an accident, that's all you are. Surely if one man murders another, surely if a man rapes a woman, isn't that just survival of the fittest? That's what you believe, isn't it? That's what you say you believe, but you don't really. You know in your heart, you know that God is, and that's where you get your morality from. You can't do morality without God. You've got no basis for morality without God. None whatsoever. What you cling to is, it's like the old philosopher, the old German philosopher Nietzsche said to his English atheistic friends. He berated them. He said, you cling to your morality. He said, that's Christianity. Get rid of it. You can't be an atheist and cling to your morality. But of course you do cling to your morality, don't you? That's what I say, you're inconsistent. You say there is no God, but you cling to Christian morality. but at least I do try to live up to what I believe. I don't do it perfectly, I fully acknowledge that, but I do try to live up to what I believe, what I claim to believe. You claim to be an atheist, but you don't live up to it. You don't live up to it, you cling to your morality. Get rid of it. Get rid of it if you truly believe what you say you believe, if there is no God. How can you do science? How could you do science in a changing universe? If the universe is always changing, as your evolutionary teachers tell you, how can you do science? How can you send rockets to the moon if the universe is always changing? Salt dissolved in water yesterday, dissolves in water today. Will the future be the same as the past? Will it dissolve in water tomorrow? Sun came up yesterday, sun came up this morning, will it come up tomorrow? You got no basis for believing that it will. Not at all. As an evolutionist, you live in an unchanging universe. Everything's random, everything's accidental. So maybe accidentally the sun won't come up tomorrow. Maybe accidentally salt won't dissolve in water tomorrow. But you know it will. Why? Because there's uniformity in nature, that's why. And hey, get this. Hey, laws of nature, laws don't come out of matter, they come from an intelligent mind. Guess whose? Yeah, the God, you see, doesn't exist. No, he does, and you know it. And you do all these things, and you can do them, because God has revealed things to you. You have knowledge, because God's given it to you. But of course, you'll cling stubbornly to your atheistic evolution. Why? Because you've got a stubborn nature. The ox knows who his master is, God says. Even a donkey's more intelligent than you. He knows who his master is, but you don't. You don't. Yeah, you know God, all right. And of course, God in the Bible, that's why he says his wrath is being revealed against you because of the unrighteousness of men and women who hold down the truth in unrighteousness. Listen up to what God's word says. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly perceived. You even understand it, says God. Thank you. Thank you, my dear. Thank you. God bless you. You even understand it, says God. But you see, you suppress, you hold down that truth in unrighteousness because you don't want there to be a God, because you love your sin, you love your uncleanness, you love your filth and dirt, you hate holiness, you hate God. Here you are in your advanced technological society with all you've got going for you. You understand the origins of the universe and of life and everything else. You've got all that wrapped up, and here you are, you're still murdering and slaughtering one another all over the world. You're still laden with social problems, drug peddling, drug abuse, fornication, sodomy, uncleanness, and all the disease that comes out of it, abortion, euthanasia, murdering and slaughtering one another. A civilized society. That's a laugh, isn't it? Civilized? You're the most uncivilized people in the universe, on God's planet. The ungodly, the unrighteous. Now you see, people, you suppress, you hold the truth down in unrighteousness. And what God requires of you is this: repentance. is that you turn from such, that you repent and believe the gospel. Seek the Lord while he may be found, says God. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Change of mind, you see. That's what repentance is. Change your mind about this rubbish about evolution. You change your mind about Darwin and Dawkins. You know that evolution has no scientific base at all. It was started. It was kicked off by philosophers, not science, not scientists. None of them were scientists. Not Darwin. Darwin wasn't a scientist. Huxley, this bulldog, wasn't a scientist. Huxley, well, we could go on with the names. They weren't scientists. They were philosophers, thinkers, ungodly thinkers, just like the most of you here today. You see, you need to be saved. You need to be saved from your wrong thinking. You need to be saved from your fallen mind, as well as your sin, as well as the judgment of God. You need to be saved. It's salvation that you need. And salvation comes. Amen. Salvation comes only to a person when they repent and believe the gospel. Of course, you can't do that by yourself. That's an impossibility. Unless God gives you the gifts, unless God breathes the breath of life into you, unless you're born again. You see, nobody ever desired God. Nobody ever desired even to submit to God's law until, that is, God breathed the breath of life into them. That is, until they were born again. See, that's why you go about the world slaughtering one another, killing one another. You know why? Because man's made in the image of God. And you see, being a God hater, you hate the image of God in man. That's why you go about killing one another. You see, the sum of God's law is that you should love God and love your neighbor, but you hate both. You hate God and you hate man. You hate your neighbor who's made in the image of God. That's why you go about killing and slaughtering one another. Now, you see, people, God has it right. You got it wrong. This is the truth, and that's a lie. And you've exchanged the truth for a lie, and your thinking's become futile. It's become, don't want to offend anybody, but, what it means is simply you become a bunch of morons. Yeah, that's what God said, not me, sir, not me. Laugh your socks off if you will, but it's not me. I'm only the messenger, you know. You can shoot the messenger, but that won't get rid of the one who sent the message, you know. But you see, people, it's the word of God, you see, it's the truth. And it's only the truth, Jesus says, that'll set you free, nothing else will. And, it's that stubborn nature, it's that love for sin. You love your sin, you love the darkness, God says. And that's why you won't come in, that's why you won't come to the light, you see. You stubbornly refuse to come to the light because you love your sin. But not this, you know that God is. Child, when it's born, before it knows anything else, knows that God is. Because Jesus Christ lightens every man who comes into the world. But your suppression of the truth will lead you to the judgment of God. I come here to tell you these things. Why? Because I hate you, because I want to offend you, because I want to upset you. No, because I love you. Because I love you. God tells me, his command to me is that I should love my neighbor. You know? And you're my neighbor. And so I come to warn you You're heading towards the precipice. I come to tell you, stop, stop, stop. You're heading towards the precipice, and the fall is into an eternal, eternal flames. And because I love you, I don't want you to fall over that precipice. I want you to turn around and go the other way. To repent, you see. If your neighbor's house was on fire, and your neighbor's asleep in his bed, unaware that his house is on fire, what would you do? Well, if you loved them, you wouldn't just knock on his door, you'd kick his door in and drag him out of the house. Well, I'm here to tell you, people, your house is on fire. I wonder if this generation can't feel the flames licking at its feet already. I wonder you can't smell the sulfur. You know? Hell, you can't get there quick enough, this generation. Thousands of you, day after day, take a trip down to the local cemetery. It's educational, I tell you. Sit outside in your car, watch them all being ushered in. And they can't get them in quick enough. All it takes them to do one nowadays, about 10 minutes, one after the other. Hundreds, thousands, day after day, been ushered into the flames of a lost eternity, the damnation of hell. Oh, believe me, there's something to be saved from. The wrath of God's already being revealed, the Bible says, against your ungodliness and unrighteousness, that means by which you use to suppress the truth about God. Yeah, his wrath is being revealed against your ungodliness all over your world. Typhoons, tsunamis, earthquakes, wars, famine, accidents as you call them, natural disasters. There's no such thing as a natural disaster. They're God's judgments. They're the righteous revelations of God's justice to an ungodly and God's truth suppressing people. And so you see, people, the wrath of God is already being revealed. And when you see such events taking place, when you see people being whisked out of this world in a nanosecond, the question ought to be burning in the front of your mind is, where would I be? Where would I be if I'd been caught up in that earthquake in Afghanistan yesterday, or in that typhoon in Mexico at the weekend? Where would I have been if I'd been taken out of the world? Nobody goes out of the world. Nobody dies. God takes them. It's God's justice. Wages of sin is death. It's the justice, you see, you all cry for. Like I said in the beginning, it's not a justice that you want. It's grace, undeserved favor of God, and salvation. But you see, in the words of the Lord Jesus, except you repent, you'll all of us, in like fashion, the same way, you'll perish. Without God's grace, without repentance, without faith towards the Son of God, Jesus Christ, that'll be the end of you. Unless you do, unless you repent, unless you believe the gospel, God's Son, Jesus Christ. This is the gospel. Christ died for sinners, rose again from the dead after the third day. Christ died for the ungodly. Christ, the person, the Son of God, proved, demonstrated to be so by the power of his resurrection from the dead. Christ, the person, Son of God, Jesus. And what did he do? He died. He died on the Roman cross. But he didn't die because he deserved to. He died because you deserved to. He died in a thrilling death. Thousands of guys that died in Roman crosses 2,000 years ago, but only one was an appointed Savior. Only one was God's Son. Only one was the Christ of God. Jesus, he died. And who did he die for? He died for the ungodly, those who in their nature and in their practice are contrary to God's nature. See, that's the trouble, you see, when you sin, you know, because you're a man, because you're a woman made in the image of God, you're made to reflect the image of God, you see, and when you do adultery, when you do the filthy thing, you see, you're saying in effect, you're saying that God's unfaithful. You're saying God's unfaithful, but He's not. You are, because you're a lawbreaker, a violator of God's law when you steal, when you thieve and steal, you know, when you do the unclean. You know, you're saying, in effect, you're saying that that's what God's like, you know, but He's not. So you see, people, all these violations of God's law, but of course it goes much deeper than that. It's your very nature. That's why you do it. You do it naturally, you know what I mean? You can't do any other, like, you know, you go against God because it's in your nature to do so. It's the way that you were born.
Trouble.
Sorry. Oh, yeah. Okay, I'll do my best. What puzzles? What do you mean, how did I spend them? Yeah. Well, let me put it like this. Forget about fossils for a minute. Ask yourself the question. How can you do anything if evolution is true? If there's no God, everything's just an accident, right? Okay? Big Bang, everything produces matter, and out of that matter comes intelligence, and then comes morality. I mean, if the universe is random, everything's just an accident, I mean, how can you even do, never mind RE, how can you do science, how can you do anything at all? No, I don't. I don't, because that means that there was death before sin came into the world. That means that there was, that God is, that through all those billions of years, the transitional period, as you call it, developing, there's death and there's suffering before man comes into being, which God had in mind to create. I couldn't believe in a God like that. Yes. Roughly. No, I'm not saying exactly, like, but thereabouts. But they're not millions of years old. No, they're not. No, their data is their data, and even their method of interpreting the things is false. There was a, let me give you an example. There was an article in the Telegraph. I'm going back a couple of years now. They found some bones in the Swiss Alps, right? And in this article, is shouting about evolution. Here's these bones that they found, and they are so many million years old. Yeah, they're all crowing about it. They're all shouting about it. This is great, like, yeah, okay. A couple of months later, yeah. And it was all front page stuff, okay? A couple of months later, on the inside of the paper, tiny, tiny little paragraph, it said that the bones that had been found on the Swiss Alps had belonged to a woman's father who had been lost in a skiing accident. Ten years previously. Not 10 billion, 10 years previously. But your scientists had taken those bones, examined them, and the conclusion that they came to were that they were something like 10 million years old. Say again? No, that's that pretty much sums up their methods, like, you know what I mean?
But tell,
But tell me please, definitely not. Tell me please, how can you have uniformity in nature if the universe is, if it's changing as evolution tells you? How can you have uniformity in nature? How can you send a man to the moon if you don't believe it'll be there tomorrow? You can't eat. Is it? Is it really? Really?
Oh.
How can you expect the sun to come up again tomorrow morning? Tell me, what basis do you have for doing science in a changing universe then? Pardon? It's not fact. It's not fact. It's not.
Whatsoever, like,
everything,
God is real.
It's not a fact at all. It's not a fact at all. You can. How can you do morality if there's no God? How can you do morality? What basis? Tell me, give me a basis for, if you believe what you believe, that evolution, that there is no God, what basis do you have? Give me a basis, an intelligible basis for doing morality, even for common decency. Pardon?
What do you mean by morality?
You believe it's wrong for a man to rape a woman?
Yeah, I do believe it's wrong.
Okay, why? On what basis? On what basis? Why?
Why
is it not right? Where do you get the law from? Where do you get the law from? Matter? No, it's not. Matter? Where do you get common sense from? Where do you get common sense from?
So you're a part of God.
No, I didn't say that. I asked, no, I believe it's wrong. I believe it's wrong because God says it's wrong. You have no basis for saying that. You have no basis, none at all.
Where did God get it from? Didn't he get it from common sense that you couldn't bring it? Oh,
wait, I'm still waiting. I'm waiting for your answer.
What,
on what basis? You've got no basis for morality. But where does it come from?
Inside.
From evolution? From matter?
Yeah,
matter produces morality? Matter?
You
don't? Why not? You're just a piece of chemical fizz, that's all you are.
No,
if you're right, if evolution is true, then that's all we are, a piece of chemical fizz. So there's nothing stopping another man raping you. That's just the survival of the fittest, isn't it? If one man murders another, that's just survival of the fittest. That's what you believe.
Yeah, I do believe that. I believe that.
You're so confused. Girls, you need to repent and believe the gospel. That's what you need. You're sinners and you're on your way to a lost eternity. If you don't repent, you know, you need to be saved from your wrong thinking. You are. You're confused. Your thinking's futile. Yeah, go on. If I don't know this. Of course I would. There's nothing wrong with science. You can't do science without God. You can only do science because God has revealed things to you about the world and about yourself. You can't do science without God.
You literally just said you don't believe God made us do science. That's the only thing that you agree with, God told you to.
That's not what I said. I said you can't do science without God. And without the knowledge that God has given to you. Yeah.
So how do you blame people that aren't religious? Well, how do you think other religions
are? What about them? They're unbelievers. They're lost like you. They're on their way to a lost eternity. Unless you believe the God of the Bible. There's only one God, the God of the Bible. The one who you know and who will judge you, not because you didn't know he existed, but he will judge you because you do know that he exists. And you suppress the truth and unrighteousness. You know different. You know that he exists. You know that he exists. She can't win. Of course you can't win. She's on the wrong side. She's on the losing side. You're an unbeliever. You're in darkness. Your thinking's futile.
Yeah,
You're thinking it's futile. God says so, not me.
Why does God let people that have never sinned, like you,
everybody sinned, all have sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There are no good people. None good, only God is good. Pardon? I'm sorry, I can't hear you. In order to be saved, because you're bad, you need to believe.
Why do bad things happen in the world then?
Pardon? Because men are sinners. Because men are wicked. There's no such thing as a natural disaster. God's judgment. God's judgment on a wicked world. There's no innocent people. There's no innocent people. Pardon? They're born in sin, same as you. They're conceived in sin. You sin, yes, with a sinful nature. Every one of us. All of us. Pardon?
How is a sinful meaning? Is there nothing wrong in the world? How can you say that the world could be involved in a natural disaster? Or how can God say this child?
Because it's a sinner.
How is it?
Because it's a sinner, same as you. Born in sin. Yeah. You got a sinful nature.
How?
You're rebelling against God now.
But he isn't real.
No, you know different. You know that he is. You know that he is. You know that he is. He says he's made it plain to you. He says you even understand it. That's why you're having this conversation, because you know that he is. You couldn't have this conversation without God. You can't even have a purposeful thought without God. Yes. Yes. The whole nine yards. Genesis to Revelation, the whole book. It's the truth, and it's the only truth, and it's the truth that will set you free if you repent and believe the gospel. Pardon?
If God says Adam and Eve, do not eat from the tree of knowledge, then obviously he didn't want us to find out science.
If
God says Adam and Eve, and God has eaten, apparently, that he shouldn't eat from the tree of knowledge.
Yeah. I didn't say that.
You just said that you would use science to make yourself better, like what would you
do?
You really are confused. You need to raise the white flag and surrender. Submission to God. Because he wants to save you. Because he wants to deliver you from the coming judgment. Because one day you'll stand before him and you'll give an account for every careless word you speak, Jesus says. Even for this conversation that you're having. If you don't repent and believe the gospel, my dear, you'll be lost. And that's why I'm here to tell you the truth, in order that you might repent and believe and be saved. Pardon? No. No. Yes. Yes, I still sin today. Every day of my life I sin. Beg your pardon? I'm not going to go into that. Different ways, thoughts, words, deeds. Pardon?
You're a man of God, why are you?
Because I've got a sinful nature just like yours. I'm not any better than you. I'm just better off. I've got a saviour, you haven't. Jesus Christ died for my sins. Yeah? No. No. No, because I will be in heaven with God. I will be perfect then. Not now, but then I will be perfect. You, on the other hand, will be lost forever and ever with no way back to God in the flames of hell. No, you won't. No. It's appointed for man once to die. After this comes the judgment, God says. After this comes the judgment. Yeah. This is the argument. No one ever came back. Yes, he did. Jesus Christ did. And he came back to tell you what it's like. Yeah? And that you need to be saved. No, but God was. And I have his word. I have his word.
How have they got some conflicting stories in the Bible?
There are no conflicting stories in the Bible. No, there isn't. Tell me one. Point to me one. Show me one. Here's the Bible. Show me one.
Oddly enough, I don't know the Bible.
Show me one. Well, see, well, you're speaking about what you don't know.
Sorry.
You're speaking about what you don't know. Sorry. That wasn't the market. That was the church. That was the temple. See what I mean? You're talking about what you don't know. Well, but why? How logical is that? I mean, how sensible is that to argue about something you don't know what you're talking about? He went into the temple and he upturned the tables and he drove the money changers out of the temple because they were turning God's house into a marketplace. And maybe if he was to come back again today, he would do exactly the same in many of the churches in your town here today in your own country. Because they are just as bad as they were back then. I believe because I've been born again because God has revealed His truth to me. You see, the truth of the matter is, you see, you can't do squat without God. You can't even be saved, you know. I can argue with you, I can reason with you, I can bring all these arguments to bear upon you. But unless God shows you His grace, unless He kindly opens your eyes to see these things, girls, you'll remain just as you are, as you were born. You'll live, you'll die in your sin, and you'll go to a lost eternity. That's why I say to you, you need to repent and believe the gospel. God has done the very best that He could do with sinful. That's not. It's you that's not fair. God is perfectly just. We are unjust. We are unjust. God is perfectly just. Sorry. Yep. Justice. Because they're sinners. Well, that's a very good question. Yeah? And the question that should be in your mind is, if I had been there and I had been swept away, where would I be now? You'd be in a lost eternity. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish, Jesus said, following a similar disaster. Yeah? Stephen? What?
What makes it different when we die?
Hell. When you die, it's not in Jesus. So there we go, people. It's the word of God, the truth, the justice of God. As I began, you know, it's not justice you want, it's grace. The grace of God in Jesus Christ has been revealed. Great evidence of God's love for sinners in Christ dying for the ungodly on a Roman cross, in order that you might be saved from the justice of God, in order that you might be saved from His righteous justice. God has appointed a day in which Jesus Christ, His Son, will judge the world in righteousness. You need to be ready for that day. We shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, the Bible tells us. All of us, you and I alike. And in that day, without Jesus Christ, without His shed blood, without the forgiveness of your sins through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, without repentance and faith, without you've been born again, people, that will be an awful, that will be a terrible day for you. I come to you in love because I love you, because you're my neighbor, and I come to warn you to fly from the wrath to come, the coming judgment of God. Things that you need to be saved from. You need to be saved from your fallen reasoning, your fallen thinking. You need to be saved from your sin. You need to be saved from its final consequences. Wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ, whom I declare to you this afternoon. Whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved from sin's penalty. Wages is death. Saved from its power. Holds you in its grip. And saved from its presence that permeates your world and your hearts and lives. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, God's command with the promise, and you shall be saved. You'd like to have a copy of God's Word, take home with you, read for yourself, see that these things are so, it's offered to you free of charge.